I hear God speaking in the midst of the tragic shooting in Las Vegas last night.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, once again, we wake up all over America with horrific news, with shocking news, with painful news. Our hearts and prayers go out to the families of those killed and to all of those wounded. I'm sure some are hanging now between life and death, and others, their lives have been forever changed. The shooting in Las Vegas, how do we respond? Is this a time to debate gun control? Is this a time to have larger debate about other issues in our society? Is this another time when God is trying to get our attention using human evil and satanic evil to get our attention? We'll talk about that today. As always, we want to be as redemptive as we possibly can. This is Michael Brown. You're listening to The Line of Fire. Yes, America is sick. I mean, think of it. It's a country music concert. Vegas, Sin City. Oh, you're going to tell me that the people there specially deserved to die. I hope not. I certainly hope not. And look, this was not a Satan-worshipping, kill-all-Christians concert. It's not like the people there were about to go marching out and killing Christians or something like that, or sacrificing babies to say, this is a country music concert, all right? And just the idea now that people going to a concert, people going to an outdoor event, they're going to be wondering and looking over their shoulders, are they next? What's going to happen next? You hear this news, and for me personally, there's only one reaction. There's only one reaction. It's the same feeling I had during the hurricanes. And as devastating as they were, and as much as, say, many people living in Houston or other parts of America or Puerto Rico, that their lives have been devastated and it's going to take them years to rebuild. It's different than getting murdered in cold blood. And it's different than being crippled or handicapped or having a family member severely wounded or killed. So there were more casualties in a few minutes of this mass shooting in Las Vegas than there were in this respect through all the hurricanes that recently hit us, as devastating as those were in many, many, many other ways. So praying during the hurricanes, God, are these divine judgments? Are you sending these hurricanes as judgment on America? What's the purpose? What's happening? Are these due to man-made global warming? What's the lesson in all of this? What are we to get out of all of this? Because God was not just sitting by passively saying, "Ooh, look, what's happening? What a shame. What are we to make of it?" And what I heard when I prayed in my own heart was the voice of God saying, "America, you need me. America, you need me." I hear that again loudly and clearly. I just wrote about it this morning. Only God can heal America. Normally, I'm up very late. Many a time, I'm still up and it's 4 a.m. So I would have seen the news, the breaking news. What was it, 3:45, something like that, Eastern Standard Time? But very early in the morning, I would have heard the news. Instead, I had been out ministering, got up very early to speak yesterday morning in Atlanta, and then my flight from Atlanta back to where I live was delayed almost 4 hours, and so I just went to sleep earlier, and I slept in. So first thing when I got up this morning and had to do some radio interviews, I start looking at emails, and I see the news. So like many of you, woke up to this shocking news. And I know there's going to be a lot of debate about gun control. It may not even be relevant based on whether it was legal for this man, for the murderer, to have the weapons that he had. How did he get them? We still don't know. But what I know, what's clear to me, is this is another wake-up call to America. Here, human evil, human sin, not a natural disaster. We need to turn to God. America can only be great if America is good. We need to turn back to God. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is America, friends. Those sounds were not from battlefields in Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq. That was not part of our war with ISIS. That was not going down into some other country and taking out terrorists. That was an American. And from what we know thus far, someone with no religious or terrorist affiliation. Those shots that you heard firing, the screams, the cries, that was on our territory, our soil. We were doing this to ourselves. There is a call to make America great again, but America cannot be great if America is not good. And America cannot be good without God. It's very basic and very fundamental. What is best in our country, what is at the foundation of our liberties, what gives each human being distinct value and gives us an inalienable right to pursue liberty and freedom and justice, those things, all of them, go back to God. Those things go back to scripture foundations in our nation. Those go back to the idea that America would be a religious and moral people. No, we do not need a theocracy. No, that's not the goal. The goal is not to force every American to read the Bible, to force every American to go to religious services, and to have clergy ruling America by force. No, I would want out. If that was the case, I would want out, because that would not work. The goal is to get those of us who follow Jesus and believe in him to turn back to God. The goal is for repentance to begin with us. Lord, I've sinned. We've sinned. Not just pointing a finger at this group and that group, left-wing media and right-wing media, and this terrorist and that terrorist. And Lord, I'm guilty. Here's where I've sinned. Here's where I've walked in compromise. That we begin to turn to God, that pastors, preachers, leaders begin to turn to God and say, we've been putting on a show. We've been entertaining people rather than changing their lives. We've been having a cruise country club mentality more than a Revolutionary Army mentality, armed with weapons of love and compassion and truth to go out and change the world. It's time for repentance to begin with us. You say, Dr. Brown, what in the world are you talking about? Are you crazy? Mike, you're out of your head? Some crazy guy in Las Vegas shoots people and you're saying we need to repent? This is part of the sickness that is America right now. The same America that was ripped apart by hurricanes just a few weeks ago, the same America that's been ripped apart by racial division, the same America that on a daily basis is slaughtering babies in the womb, the same America that's selling our young people into sex trafficking, the same America now that has an environment where an 8-year-old could download porn on his phone. The same America watching families being torn up left and right. That same America is the America of violence as well, as we saw in the horrific shootings in Las Vegas. No, you and I are not personally responsible for what happened there. The murderer alone is responsible. Any complicit with him, they're responsible. We are responsible for our own sins. And what I'm saying is America needs God. We need God, and therefore we get on our knees and we get on our faces and we repent of our sins and we look to the cross. And then we go back to the Word of God and we begin to live by the life-giving principles of the Word of God, and we show the world around us that God has a better way. Look, without a biblical concept of human beings created in the image of God, we would not have our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. This is a foundational truth that lies behind those things as we speak of our Creator. And just so you know this, I'm reading from Saving a Sick America, some quotes here. Stephen McDowell points out the colonies. Do you want to hear how Christian the colonies were? Oh, yeah, they had faults. They had problems. Some of them accepted slavery. Others resisted it. And no, women did not have the same rights and opportunities then that they have now. But I would absolutely take the family-friendly, godly environment there over what we have today. First Charter of Massachusetts, 1629, states the desire that all the inhabitants would be, quote, so religiously, peaceably, and civilly governed as their good life and orderly conversation may win and incite the natives of our country, meaning the Native Americans, to the knowledge and obedience of the only true God and Savior of mankind and the Christian faith, which is our royal intention and the adventurer's pre-profession, is the principal end of this plantation. So faith in Jesus with the hope that this would be attractive to the Native Americans. The intent was not to slaughter them or wipe them out. Adopted January 14, 1639, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut began with the inhabitants covenanting together under God to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, which we now profess. Rhode Island, 1683, the charter mentioned their intentions of godly edifying themselves and one another in the holy Christian faith and worship, and with the desire for the conversion of the poor, ignorant Indian natives. 1682, Great Law of Pennsylvania was enacted, revealing the desire of William Penn and the inhabitants of the colony to establish, quote, laws as shall best preserve true Christian and civil liberty, in opposition to all unchristian, licentious, and unjust practices, whereby God may have his due, Caesar his due, and the people their due. When Alexis de Tocqueville came over from France to look at America and to see what it was that made America special and great, when he came over in the 1830s, he said, on my arrival in the United States, it was the religious atmosphere which first struck me. And remember, it was this religious atmosphere that ultimately led to the freeing of the slaves. Just understand it. There was always resistance to it in our history, and then it was Christian principles that led to the freeing of the slaves. He says, as I extended my stay, I could observe the political consequences which flowed from this novel situation. In France, I had seen the spirit of religion moving in the opposite direction to that of the spirit of freedom. In America, I found them intimately linked together in joint reign over the same land. Do you understand that? In France, the French Revolution said freedom by getting rid of the Christian religion, freedom by getting rid of God, to state it in very crass, clear terms. In America, the idea of freedom went directly back to relationship with God and reverencing God. He said this, that when he went to bookseller shops, he found an enormous quantity of religious books, Bibles, sermons, holy stories, religious quarrels, reports of charitable trusts. He said he visited people in log cabins, and the only book they had was the Bible. And look at this. This is apparently not a quote that goes back to de Tocqueville, but someone close to him in time. America is great because America is good, and if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. One more quote from de Tocqueville. The safeguard of morality is religion, and morality is the best security of law as well as the surest pledge of freedom. So, no freedom without morality, no morality without God and true religion. He said, Americans so completely identify the spirit of Christianity with freedom in their minds that it is almost impossible to get them to conceive the one without the other. And this is not one of those sterile ideas bequeathed by the past to the present, nor one which seems to vegetate in the soul rather than live. All found in my new book, Saving a Sick America. Let me say it again. For America to be great, America must be good. America cannot be good without God. So I like what someone tweeted the other day, the hashtag MAGA, M-A-G-A, and people wearing MAGA as slogans, make America great again. How about make America godly again? No, we've never been a perfect Christian nation. Yes, we've always had blemishes and issues, some of them very, very serious. But to the extent that we have ever been great, it has been because of our knowledge of God, our reverence of God, our Christian faith in the best sense of the word. And as I also cite in Saving a Sick America, the birthing of our great schools, the Harvards and the Yales and the Princetons, and the vast majority of the first 250 schools founded in America, they were founded on religious godly principles. They were founded by Christian denominations or Christian individuals or Christian organizations. Why? Because it was important to educate people, and it was important to educate them starting with the Word of God. I guarantee you, if Americans would read Scripture more and say, God, speak to me through your word, something that simple. If Americans would read the Bible 5 minutes a day and say, God, help me to put into practice what I learn, America would be transformed. All right, there's a lot more to talk about. a lot more issues that we want to get into. And do you think it's appropriate to bring up gun control at this point? Do you think it's relevant in any way? 866-34-TRUTH. Phone number to call, 866-348-7884. And what do you think about what I'm saying? Do you believe that the key to America's greatness is getting back to God? 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back on the other side of the break. If you're watching on YouTube, weigh in with your comments on YouTube. I'll check out your comments in a moment, but weigh in there and watch this ad coming up. Special information for all of you watching on YouTube. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period.
You know what's especially sad to me as we mourn the loss of those slaughtered, those wounded family members all taken out last night in this senseless evil act by a shooter in Las Vegas? You know what's so additionally painful as I think about it? We're pretty hard. We're almost used to this kind of thing. At least as I was talking to the Lord, just praying, driving up to do radio today, I'm upset, I'm grieved over this, but there's just so much now. It's so easy to get inundated with news, with tragedy. And then how much entertainment that we watch hardens us. 866-348-7884. How much of the things that we just take in on daily, regular entertainment, how much of that hardens our heart? In Saving a Sick America, I have a whole chapter on From the Walking Dead to a Culture of Life. Now, for those that jump to extremes when you hear me, I'm not saying that the shooting in Las Vegas is somehow directly related to us watching zombie movies and TV, okay? I'm not saying that, lest anyone mishear me. What I'm saying is we have a larger culture of death. We're constantly exposed to images of death and dying. We see violence day and night on TV. Sometimes the good guy is the criminal. Sometimes the good guy is the cannibalistic killer. I mean, we have been so hardened by things in our society that when we see tragedy like this, it grieves us, but not the way it would have in the past. It grips us, but not the way it would have in the past. And I don't think it's just me. And I remember something. In fact, before I get to this, let me propose something to you. Right now, some of you are listening to me on our great radio stations all over America. Some of you are watching on YouTube. We've just started the last few weeks live streaming on YouTube, so you can actually watch as we're doing our radio broadcast. And as you're hearing audio clips on the radio, you're seeing video clips on your screen on YouTube. Some of you are listening to our live audio feed on Facebook. Some are listening on your cell phones via our app. So there are many, many different ways that you are listening to us, and some even watching us right now. Some are listening via your computer. If you're listening, if there's no way to post your comment where you are, then call in, because I've got a question for you. If someone said to you, what are the very worst things in America right now? If you could put your finger on it, say, okay, the number one problem in America we need to solve, the number two, the number three, would it be violence? Would it be injustice? Would it be immorality? Would it be lack of consciousness of God? Would it be debt? Would it be something else? If you had a list, what would be your top one, two, three issues? If you're listening on Facebook, you can post them there. If you're watching on YouTube, post them in the chat there. Or call in 866-34-TRUTH. However you're listening, watching, you can call in 866-348-7884. If someone came knocking on your door and they said, we understand you believe in God. Yeah, you believe in the Bible. Yeah, you're a follower of Jesus. Okay, what's the biggest problem in America right now? What's the biggest issue that we need to solve right now in America? What would you tell them? Let us know. I'd like to get your input on this. But back to 9/11. I heard from a youth pastor then who was based in Seattle. And because it's 3 hours behind us there, behind the East Coast in Seattle, by the time students were just on their way to school and starting their days, all of the news, all of the horrific news had already come from New York and D.C. and Pennsylvania, the horror of that day. So they woke up with this reality. They're on their way to school with this reality. They basically all know about it. So this youth pastor said, you know, I better get over. I better get over to the school because kids are traumatized. I better get over there because they're going to be shaken by this. Now, I know it was, say, from New York, D.C., Pennsylvania, all the way to Seattle, and it doesn't feel as close as when you're living in one of those other areas that was hit, just as I'm sure the people closest to Vegas are reeling over what happened last night. But he got to the school, and he wanted to talk to students because some of them were in his church and others he knew they're reaching out to at a big church there. So he's talking to the students and found that many were not traumatized at all. Many were just going about their day in a ho-hum way. You think, how is that possible? And you know what some of them said? This is the report he came back with to his shock. They said, that was like some B-level video game. In other words, watching the planes going to the Twin Tower, it just seemed like poor animation. I see more graphic, violent things. Yeah, but hang on. That's not real. What you're doing on Grand Theft Auto or whatever other violent game you're playing, video game, that's not real. You're not actually killing people. You're not actually blowing up buildings. That's not real. This is real. This is real. Yeah, but they're just so calloused and so hardened by what was around them. And I fear that that has happened to a great extent in America. Look, I'll be totally honest with you. For many years, I didn't watch boxing or violent sports like that. There wasn't MMA then, so I didn't watch boxing. Because of the violence, I'm not laying that on someone else. I'm just saying for me, when I had prayed about it one time, is it right for me to watch? Because I would get so into the watching a fight. And Nancy never liked it. I'm talking about decades ago. I get so into it. And I prayed about it one time, and I decided not to watch the next fight. And a guy was killed in that fight. And I thought, man, I can't watch. And then over the years, you know, I'd see a fight here and there, and I didn't get into it the same way. And I'd watch it a little differently, and it didn't seem like that big a deal. The first time I saw mixed martial arts, it's like, oh, hey, yikes. Well, you watch enough, you get used to it. And so, oh, that was a bad, oh, that was terrible. You look away, but, you know, I could look at something and say, it's not that big a deal. Why? You get used to things. And let God be the judge of what entertainment you and I should watch or what sports you and I should watch. Some say, well, football is more dangerous. I'm not getting into a debate about any of that. Please don't get sidetracked with that. All I'm saying is we get used to things. We get used to them. We become hardened. That's my point. And we are a society today that has become hardened. Look, my book, Saving a Sick America, is extraordinarily relevant as America is going through incredible upheaval and pain and challenge right now. Extraordinarily relevant. We need God. We need to get back to what made us great as a nation. And that is our Judeo-Christian roots, our biblical heritage, our biblical foundation. And we must unharden ourselves. You say, how do you do that? Well, you ask God to forgive you for what you're doing that you know is wrong, and then you turn away from what you know is wrong. With God's help and grace, you turn away from it and you turn to Him asking for mercy. As you do, you'll see a softening come. We'll be right back. We'll get to your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, right now, we need your truck. We just need to get people over to the hospital, okay?
Okay, go ahead. Put them all in the back.
Okay, can you pull over towards the side over there? You know what? This person right here. Hold up. Can we get this person in here?
Baby, this is horrible.
Yeah, hold on. Try it now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just... Horrible footage from the shooting early this morning, late last night in Las Vegas. And friends, I'm not trying to be overly spiritual, overly moralizing, but as plain as I can be, when we see tragedy after tragedy after tragedy in America, it shouts to me, we need the Lord. It shouts to me, we're in trouble, we need help. Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-348-7884. I've been doing lots of interviews, and people ask me, well, what's bad about America? What's so sick about America? What are the great problems we're having in America? And I do my best to speak to them candidly and honestly. I want to hear from you. If someone said, okay, what's the root of our problems? Or what's our biggest problem? What's our biggest issue in the nation right now? What would you say it is? Before I hear from you, before I take your calls, and while our hearts remain heavy for the victims and the families of the victims killed last night, this morning, and some obviously hanging between life and death, and some obviously with injuries that could be life-changing, and obviously just the trauma of being there is going to be life-changing, life-altering for many. May people turn to the Lord and look for help in the one place they'll get it. But years back, my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach visited Charlotte, North Carolina, where he and I did a debate about the real kosher Jesus. He had written a book on kosher Jesus. I wrote a response book, The Real Kosher Jesus. And after that debate, he said, listen, I'd like to come back to North Carolina. I'd like to do a debate with you on the subject of homosexuality. Is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? Because he felt as an Orthodox rabbi that evangelical Christians pointed to homosexuality too much and blamed everything on gay activism. And I said, well, I don't believe that homosexuality is America's greatest moral crisis. I believe that gay activism is the greatest threat to religious freedom in America right now. But no, I don't believe that homosexuality is America's greatest moral crisis. He said, well, let's debate the issue anyway. I said, fine. And for those wondering, no, I'm not connecting gay activism with the shooting. Okay, please hear me. So Nancy and I were talking, and I mentioned to her the title of the proposed debate. She said, well, homosexuality is not our greatest moral crisis. I said, I agree. And we both agreed on what our greatest moral crisis is in America. To us, we could boil it down to one thing, and it was very, very simple. In fact, I'm going to hold off on sharing what we felt that one thing was so I can hear from more of you. And we'll do that momentarily right after our next break. But in the last segment, I know many of you weren't here for that, I read a quote from Alexis de Tocqueville talking about when he was in America in the 1830s, came over from France to look at America and to understand what made us great as a country and the nature of our democracy. And he observed that whereas in France, the bloody revolution of France, which still has its effects to this day in the secularizing of that nation, even though it's Catholic in certain ways, it's a very secular nation. He said that liberty in France was tied in with an anti-religious sentiment, with an anti-God sentiment. Whereas in America, morality and freedom were tied in together. So freedom in France meant get rid of God, get rid of religion. Freedom in America meant let's be a moral people, and we can be a moral people only with the help of God. So a totally, totally different philosophy. Let's make America godly again. America can only be great. To the extent America is good, America can only be good with God. We'll be right back. We'll go straight to your calls on the other side of the break.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve.
Yeah, for some of you hearing Donald Trump quote scripture like that, you might think, I don't buy that. Well, I'm glad he's quoting it. Whoever the president is, I'm glad when they quote scripture and draw our attention to that. We need the Lord right now. No question about that. Let's go to Durham, North Carolina. All right, let's go to Silva, North Carolina. Mike, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Michael. I'm going to try and tie in one of my questions with your topic. One of the moral situations I see today is that we support Israel. We give them billions of dollars, and they are killing Palestinian Christians.
Mike, that's a lie. That's a lie. Tell you what, that's a lie, and that's a distraction, and we're not going there, buddy. You're not going to get on the air with the blood of people in Las Vegas still on the ground and people screaming and mourning in pain right now and bring up lies that Israel's going about killing Palestinian Christians. That is a serious, serious issue you got, my friend, and you need to find out the facts. Do not try that again, sir. Very, very bad timing, very poor judgment. Thank you for at least being an object lesson to others. So that's what you don't want to do now. You don't want to get on your hobby horse and push a lie on radio to an audience listening and watching, okay? I'm very open to hear what you have to say, but don't do that. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Vershawn in Brazil, Indiana. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How are you doing, Dr. Brown?
I'm doing well, sir.
Well, I know you asked about the list about what you think the moral crisis in America is.
Yeah.
I just think it's mainly that we as Americans have fallen into believing that our own moral relativism is the thing that dictates how we can progress, not only on the national stage, but in the world stage. And I feel like that's the crisis that we deal with that makes us immoral, for lack of better words. And also the Christian church. Also the Christian church, I feel like, is failing and stepping and coming forward to step in to be the consciousness that helps propel America to back where we originally started at.
Got it. All right, so we have moral relativism because we've cast out absolute morality, right? That God's standards are not what matters. I have my morality, you have yours. I have my truth, you have yours. And who's largely to blame for that? A silent pulpit or a compromised pulpit? Or you think, sir, with all of the gospel, radio, TV writings that we have in America, that if we were sounding a clear message, not some puritanical, judgmental, condemning everyone message, but sounding out clearly God's standards and God's truth, America would look a lot differently. I'm with you 100%. Thank you for weighing in. Those are two very acute, clear, foundational problems. Thank you, sir. In Saving a Sick America, one whole chapter on restoring thunder to our pulpits. To be clear, I believe every hurting person should be able to come into one of our church services, one of our congregational meetings, and meet with the love of God. I don't care what their condition is or what they've done. Oh, they may have committed crimes and they'll have to go to the police to confess and get things right. They may have hurt other people and have to make restitution. But I mean, whatever kind of clothing they have on, they could be wearing, have 666 tattooed on their forehead and Satan Lives on their shirt. And they could be cursing, using all kinds of profanity and smell like whatever. And they come walking in and they need help. We should be there to help. All right? And I don't care what the situation is. A couple living together, wedlock, they come in need. We're here to help you. Gay couple comes in. We're here to help you. just whatever the bad, and I'm just giving all kinds of different things. Someone coming in, you know, depressed and suicidal, whatever the life situation is, a confused Muslim, a seeking Muslim, we're here to help you. At the same time, grace goes together with truth. We need hearts of compassion and backbones of steel. We need to speak the truth in love. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Greensboro. Victoria, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Victoria.
Can you hear me?
Yo, loud and clear. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, and I want to say thank God for you. I listen to your show every single day, and I follow you as well on YouTube, and I just thank God for just the way you present the gospel, unashamed and unapologetic. I love that, and
I thank God
for it. As I was telling the young man who took my call, I truly believe that one of the moral things that are going on with America right now is the desensitizing of our youth.
Yeah.
All of the violence on TV, the very blatant kind of push of the gay agenda, and just just not having that amount of censorship that needs to be. When I was growing up, there were things that I would have never seen on TV. There are things I've never would have imagined that I could see on TV. And also, you know, with the internet, even though it's a great platform to spread the word of God, it's also a double-edged sword, because our children, our youth, have such an influx of information that they always are in tune with something that's happening violently in the world. And so it gets to the point where they don't really recognize, it's almost normal, it's almost becoming a normalcy to get up every day and hear something horrible happening in the news.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you are so right on every front. I obviously write books on each of these subjects. You're absolutely right. And think of this. Stuff is now coming to us. You know, when every day I check my emails multiple times a day, and then I clear out my junk folder a few times a day. You know, it's just spam. And there's always some, you know, sexy lady waiting for you. It's like coming to you, right? Or some other scam or thing. Okay, so the same way that the inundation, be it the inundation of violent news, the violent entertainment, the violent video games, the sexual images on the internet, on and on. Look, when I was in the world doing drugs as a 15, 16-year-old kid, if I was looking for pornography, I couldn't go into a theater. I was too young. I would have had to find a friend whose father subscribed to Playboy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, that, or you find a magazine laying on the ground somewhere. Now an 8-year-old kid could download hardcore porn. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. Victoria, thank you for calling, and thank you for being a faithful listener, for your kind words. I really appreciate that. That's what I was saying before. We need to desensitize ourselves. We do it to sensitize ourselves, all right, to the desensitizing. And we do it by repenting of known sin, asking God to wash us clean, and then separating ourselves from those things that defile. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Raleigh. James, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Some of this is going to sound repeated at this point, but I would lay the primary moral problem for America at the feet of the church.
Yeah.
We're called to be the salt and light of the earth. That is what we are told to be. We're called to go into nations and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Christ knew that the only way to bring light to a dying world, or life to a dying world and light to a dark world, is through his message, through his love. And it's not just the words we say or don't say, or the things we do or don't do. It's every day that we live our lives, we have a world watching us, and we're not doing anything to show them a difference. We're trying to be relevant, culturally relevant, rather than culturally shocking. We're trying to fit in rather than, you know, stand out. We're doing everything wrong. We're going the wrong direction as a church. And it's our responsibility to reach out to the world. It's our responsibility to show them, who God is and what, you know, what relevance he is. It's our responsibility. That's been laid on us, and
yep.
we're not doing it as
yep.
a church. And one of to add to that, one of the things that I think kind of flows from that is a lack of us putting our beliefs and our convictions at the voting booths. a lot of friends that I have that, you know, are professing Christians, they don't go in and research anything about the politicians they vote for, if they vote at all. They don't either that or they party vote on a ballot rather than trying to make their votes count and make sure that the people getting into office are going to affect the changes this country needs.
Yeah, and let me just jump in so I can get to others. What you're saying is right on, absolutely true. I'm not going to add my commentary to it, especially our responsibility. I'm not cursing the darkness. I'm saying, where's the light? Where's the light? Let's go to Kyle in Des Moines, Iowa. All right, tell you what. My bad. I looked at the wrong clock for a second. We'll start with you, Kyle. We come back right here on the Line of Fire.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I just want to extend my personal thanks to all of you who pray for us and stand with us. If you're watching right now on YouTube, or maybe later today you'll watch the radio show on YouTube, and you'll see the video clips we've had in here and the other enhancements that we have, that's because of your giving. That's because of your help. Our team has been able to help with our equipment and just stretch the staff just to drop more to get even more out of them. So we plan to do much, much more, to do it much more effectively. Why? Because we want to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So as you've stood with us, as you've helped with our GoFundMe campaign and various other ways, we so appreciate it. If you haven't joined in yet, go to GoFundMe.com/ Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown Studio. So GoFundMe.com/AskDrBrown, A-S-K-D-R Brown Studio. And this way, together, we continue to make a difference. And you, by your giving, help us give more things away to more people for free. That's how it works, and we really do appreciate it. All right, Kyle in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your take, sir?
I think I'm just kind of restating what the last caller said, but I think complacency plays a large role in almost every problem. Even non-Christians who just complain about things rather than making a stand. And, you know, the government has three branches, and then the fourth branch is supposed to be the people, and we're supposed to outweigh all three branches combined. We could make our nation anything we wanted it to be, but we want all the politicians to do it for us.
Yeah. It's true.
I just think we get complacent with the way things are, and
you're absolutely right, and you've added something else into the conversation here as we talk about America's greatest moral crises. By the way, I know that gun control is going to be a major subject of debate right now, but as someone commented on the stream, if it's true that the killer last night in Las Vegas was using an automatic weapon, so you hold the trigger like a machine gun and it shoots multiple rounds. If that was the case, that is not something you can just go into a store and purchase. As I've asked my staff to check and just do a little research, because I'm not a gun expert in any way. And by the way, I'm not a gun person. I'm not one to make a big deal about our right to bear arms. Let others argue that. That's not my big thing. Okay, I don't own a gun. I don't plan on owning a gun. All right, I'm just speaking for myself. So I'm not saying this in defense of laws or against laws. All I'm saying is, as far as I know, the laws would be against someone just being able to own a gun like that. And then how he got it into that hotel in Las Vegas, I'm sure there are laws against that. So from everything we know, laws were broken to get this far, but we don't have enough details to say more. So whatever debate's going to happen, let it happen once we have more information. In Bedford, Texas, Amanda, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing well, obviously grieved, but doing well. Thank you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give my input. I believe that one of the biggest moral issues we have is the morality of truth. And I've been saved for 4 years, and it's like immediately how the Lord opened my eyes, and I just been seeing so much how there's just like no truth. Like everything that is supposed to be truth, it's twisted and turned into a lie. And what I mean when I say that is that, like, I go to so many churches, and I just see that you know, people are always speaking on the love of God and the love of this and this and that, but they change the love of God into a lie, and so it makes people think that they can do whatever they want to do, and then, you know, and then God is just this God who doesn't have any type of wrath. He doesn't get angry at people. But we're supposed to just accept everything that goes on. And that's as far as, you know, as far as the homosexuality in America, even with just all these killings and stuff. It's just like it's so much going on, but it's like people are changing the truth of God, and they twisting it up and turning his truth into a lie. But the Bible says that God is true and every man is a liar. And I feel like that's just one of our biggest moral issues. Nobody knows the truth anymore, and they want to make the truth fit them.
You know, and so we don't just have my morality, we have my truth, right? You have your truth, I have my truth. So ask yourself, if you listen to gospel radio, gospel TV, went to your local church, right, for a period of 1 year, and someone said, what is truth, and what matters most, and what does God expect of us, how we should live? Some of you'd say, well, he wants me to be happy and nice. That'd be it. Others would have more substance because they're going to a place where the gospel is clearly preached. Thank you for weighing in. And thank you, every comment on YouTube, on Facebook, thank you for weighing in as we take a look at your comments and your input. Much appreciated. Let me grab another call or two. We go to Fort Worth, Texas. Joyce, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Brother Mike. The comment I'd like to make is I think our problem began when prayer was removed from schools. And from there, we have gone downhill, and particularly regarding our children. And now that's my comment.
Yeah, well, thank you, Joyce. You know, David Barton has some very convincing charts. When organized public prayer was removed from our schools by the Supreme Court in 1962 without any prior basis or foundation in court decisions, when that was removed, there has been a steady decline in morality and other issues, or a very precipitous one in the years immediately after that. Was there something symbolic? Was there something important with that 22-word prayer that now symbolized something in the sight of God? You could make a good argument for it. In other words, the prayer itself was somewhat generic. But is it that it stood for us looking to God and asking God for his help? You know, I said a few minutes back that Nancy and I were discussing years ago what is the greatest moral crisis in America. And we both had the exact same comment. It is the lack of consciousness of God. In my book, Saving a Sick America, when I did the research for it, for some of the opening chapters, when I talk about our history and our roots, even though I knew a lot of this, I was still surprised to see how much the Bible was used in our education, how much God was presupposed in our documents, how much even just talk of providence, of God's activity, of a creator to whom we were accountable, of a creator that gave every human being value because we were created in the image of God. America had to overthrow slavery because of the principles on which it was founded. It could not live with it because it was in fundamental violation of our principles. And those principles came from God and came from Scripture. Scholars have studied thousands and thousands of documents and writings from the founding fathers and those of that generation that were involved in the founding of America. And the book quoted the most by far is the Bible, and then other law books that leaned heavily on the Bible. Lack of consciousness of God. And you know where we have it? We have a lot of it in the church. We're not conscious of the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture. We must turn back in repentance. We must turn back. Let it start with you and me. I'm not here to curse the darkness. I'm not here to condemn those that aren't walking with God. In that sense, they're already condemned and in need of a Savior. I'm here to say, let the repentance begin with us. Let us begin to seek God earnestly. Let us take inventory of our own lives. Let us see where we've fallen short, where we've strayed, where we have sinned. Let us ask for mercy. Let it start with us. Let the revival start with you and me. And then let's spread the good news of our Savior to a dying, hurting America. Only God can heal our nation.